is still going to do more in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for bringing us into your presence. We know that every invitation with you leads to an encounter leads to transformation. So this morning, we have come, we have yielded to the invitation to come into your house. Even for those connecting online, we've yielded to come to sit at your table, sit at your feet. So Father, speak to us. You know exactly what we need to hear this morning. For this season and in this time, Holy Spirit, speak the heart of the Father to us. Let the word that you speak, let it bring life into our mortal body in the name of Jesus. Let this word find root in us in the name of Jesus. I silence every distraction. I silence every distraction internally and externally. The word of God will have full access into our hearts and soul and spirit this morning. Thank you, King of Kings. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the word I have for us this morning is silence distraction. Silence distraction. Yes, it's an exhortation. It's just a conversation from the father to his children. You know, sometimes in a family you have a serious family meeting, maybe end of the year, we sit down, we talk about plans. Sometimes you're just like at the dinner table and you just share things, heart to heart talk. Today's a day like that. The Lord just wants to have a heart to heart talk with us. It's amazing what the Easter play, the theme of the Easter play says, the second coming. And that's what I want to talk to us about, just to bring our mind, just to center us. I'm not going deep into Revelation, into Daniel, you know, to really analyze it. The apologetics and apostles will do that for us. But today we're just having a conversation, amen, from the word of God. Our text will be from 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 7, and Matthew 24, pretty much the entire chapter of Matthew 24, but I'll take snippets of verses and we will go through it together. So we will be reading our Bibles today. We will be reading. Tell your neighbor, I will be reading my Bible this morning. My hard copy Bible. My iPad Bible. No, it's all inclusive. In this generation, we can't say it's only one way. But it's the Bible we are reading. We are not scrolling. It's the real scroll that we are looking at. We are not scrolling around. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So let's read first 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Timothy. And this is the word of Apostle Paul to Timothy. As a father to his son. 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 7. Thank you, Jesus. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 7. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Take note of that. They don't get the crown except when they compete according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all these things. Amen. Apostle Paul here was talking to Timothy the mindset of a believer, the mindset of someone who has been called to follow Christ. It's a focused mindset. And you are focused on your Savior, the Master, the one who called you. He compares it to being a soldier. For those who have been enlisted in the military of any arm can tell you, my older sister used to be in the Air Force, and it was like always ready. Everything else is secondary. The assignment is number one, and it's such a committed calling. They don't entangle in civilian affairs. That's what a soldier does. They please their commanding officer. Every one of us here as believers and those watching online, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, we are being reminded today that it's not a fun fear. Because it's interesting that we're turning church into a fun fair. And some people are seeing church as being part of another organization, a social club, a tribe, a community. We use all these words because it shows belonging. But it's important that we remind ourselves what it is. It's a calling, and we have a master who gives the commands, who has set the principles, and we cannot compromise. And the truth is, the master is coming again. He is coming again. I believe the Easter play is so profound, is so prophetic, because it's been a burden on my heart to start thinking, and just to, it's time for us to start heralding the second coming of our Lord Jesus. The truth is, Jesus is coming, or either we are going to meet him, and we can see around us, people are being called home. People are being called home. We are seeing it. But we thank God because they are sleeping in Christ. But there are still many that you and I can tell that they have not made that decision. So the charge for us today is to reset our mind and reassess that we are in a race. We are not in a fun fair. We are in a race. And an athlete, regardless of how many cheerleaders are around, they silence every distraction and they focus on the goal. They focus on the goal. And that's what God is saying to us today, for every one of us sons and daughters, that we focus on the mark of the high calling. We focus on the race that Jesus has called us to. And we begin to bring other people in. We bring them in. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. You and I are the laborers. We have the grace. God is calling. God needs us to arise and talk about his second coming. It is happening. It will happen. It's prophecy. It's prophecy. The first coming was a prophecy. It happened. And it's coming again. It is coming again. You just have to be, for those who study, affairs of the world, things are happening. And many of us are distracted. Some of the things happening with Israel is not ordinary. It's in line with the timetable. 1948, what happened was part of the timetable. What happened in 2018, the embassy brought back to Jerusalem, is part of the timetable. There's some things happening that we are not aware of, but we don't need to be caught up in those things. We should just live ready. But I'm saying those things to tell you that we are near to the second coming than ever before. We are near to it. We are near to it. And we should not be caught up in celebrity church, celebrity Christianity. No, it is a race. It is a race. And we are soldiers. we need to bring our, we need to cry for our children, and they are ready because they are the seed of the righteous, and they will bring in this generation, a generation of our children will welcome, they will usher in the second coming of our Lord Jesus. AI is okay. We will all use it. Christian, don't bash AI. We will use it. We will take it and use it to herald the second coming of our Lord Jesus. YouTube, we're taking it. Sometimes you go on YouTube and you're playing songs and you see people from all over the world saying, I don't know Christ, but I listen to this song and I'm having an encounter in my homes. We just have to use the tools that God has given to us. But the key thing is we want to silence distractions. And I use the word silence because sometimes you can't really get away really from distraction. Jesus said, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So really, we are in the midst of distraction. I mean, if you want to, because I initially said get rid of distraction. That was my get rid. And the Holy Spirit said, so you're going to go and live in a cave, right? You know, you can't really get rid. It will still be around you, but you silence. Just like we do with the phone. Do not disturb. We silence. We need to silence distractions. And I will share with us some of the distractions that the Holy Spirit wants us to be mindful about. So what is distraction? A thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. For us believers, anything that is distracting us from giving full attention to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to our Christian walk, to living a life that is holy, a life that is honoring to Him, that is what distraction looks like for us. And that's what the Lord wants us to silence today, in the name of Jesus. And we are not the first one that will need to silence distraction. If you look at the Bible stories all across, there's always distractions. Even Jesus Christ had to silence distractions around him, even within him. When he was about to get to the last point of his assignment, his emotions, it was a battle. He had to cry out, he had to silence it. So there's five areas of distractions that I want us to look at this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's five areas of distraction. We'll quickly look at, and we'll spend some time to pray. Amen. And we'll give people the opportunity to really commit to Jesus if you have not done so, because he's coming to bring his saints, those who belong to him. He's coming. Don't let anyone trick you. The only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let, in the name of the truth, other things out there, that don't let anyone deceive you. Jesus is the only way, is the one way. So the first area of distraction I want to talk about is people. People. And I think of the life of Nehemiah. I mean, Nehemiah is someone I really like. I like his passion to build for the things of God, and not, he had his own, he was fine, but he moved on. God gave him a burden. So, yes, he had to build a wall, but I want to use this analogy to say that while he was doing that, people around Sanballat, Tobiah, they came to discourage. First of all, to say, you cannot do this. You cannot. Who do you think you are? You don't have enough people. You don't have the resources. But Nehemiah did not pay attention. At a point, the words of the people were getting to the workers. Nehemiah encouraged them. At a point in the story, when they realized the people were relentless, they kept building the wall. They actually wanted to wage war, to come after them. But God in his mercy, he gave Nehemiah and his people insight to the agenda of the enemy. And all their plan was thwarted. So I'm saying to us here as believers, there are people in your life that will tell you, it's too much. What you're doing is too much. You go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and even more if you go to Agape House of Worship. You have CTC. Guess what? It's not too much to give God. For what God has given to us is not too much. And you know, one thing I was taught is we should give a tenth of our time to God, really. We have 24 hours in a day, just as we give a tenth of our money. So 2 hours, 40 minutes of your day should be spent in devotion, in praying, in sharing the gospel. So let's start doing the calculation. How are we doing with our time? So that means in a week, mathematicians, so in a week, at least 16 hours and some minutes should be devoted to the things of God. So you can take out time from church there, time in Bible study there. At least you should be 50% okay. But the rest is a challenge. 10% of our day should be spent in worship. And it's doable. That means when you are riding, for those who have a long commute, you are not listening to junk music. Yes, there are junk music out there. We are not listening to them. You are not listening to Queen B. No, you are not. Yes, you are not. You listen to a message. You replay Bible study. You listen to worship. You connect with your Father, because when you do that, you are empowered for your work. You are empowered to live the life of a believer. So don't let people in terms of people around you, friends, they'll tell you, especially the men, sometimes your guy friend be like, oh boy, please. Don't do that Sunday. Leave everything else to the ladies and PJ. Let's go hang out. Let's go hang out in the club. What are you getting in the club? You better be preaching the gospel and sharing tracts. Amen. Amen. No, we are soldiers. We do not entangle ourselves in civilian affairs. Nehemiah was determined. He did not let the words of people silence him. He silenced their bickering. Amen. The second area of distraction we need to be mindful of is pleasure. And Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 24. Jesus spoke about it. And I will quickly read a portion of Matthew 24. Pleasure, we are all guilty of pleasure. And the Holy Spirit will help us today. That's why we are having this table talk. Because he wants us to reassess things ourselves. So that we will silence the distractions. Matthew 24. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read from 36 to 44. But about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven. These are the words of Jesus to the disciples, to the believers. But only the Father, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days of before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Yeah, we won't stop marriages. We will still do it, but we will live ready. Up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at this coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not left his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when we do not expect him. The key word is in verse 42, therefore, keep watch. Verse 44, you also must be ready. Amen. The second coming is real. And I always say this, Even if it's going to be 100 years or 200 years from now, the truth is rapture happens every day. Raptures happens every day. So sometimes, you know, we don't want to be, all these years, 2,000 years, it has not happened. Rapture happens every day. And this is why we should have the urgency to talk to people in our lives, to share with them that there is, you know, there is a place. You know, it doesn't end here on earth. 2 Timothy 3, let's quickly read that too. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. I said there will be lots of readings today. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such things. Have nothing to do with such people. Amen. That's the word of God. These are scriptures that we don't read as much anymore, but it's in the word. And if we look around us, these words look like someone, whoever wrote this, they were just right here, you know, disobedient, boastful, lovers. We live in the world of I, selfie, myself, self-love. And some of those things are packaged. They look good. I mean, yes, we should love ourselves, but it should be because of God's love, not because you are the God or you are the, you know. There's some. So we should be mindful. Pleasure. What are those things that are so pleasurable to you that God is asking you to leave, you know, and it's hard? Don't let pleasure silence pleasure. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. That pleasure that will not allow you to read the word, to pray, silence it. The other distraction that sometimes can happen is pain. Pain can be a distraction. Pain can be a distraction. Sometimes when we've, you know, I know people have been in faith and maybe because not having a right foundation and they believe, coming to Jesus is all good and rosy. And they now encounter trials, delay. But we thank God for God of settlement and all those things. And they start saying, no. You know what? I've tried this God thing. Let me just do my life. Let me just enjoy life. That's the distraction. And if there's anyone here today, you are in that place, you are in that valley. You maybe for marriage, you saved yourself. You did not go around. You married the love of your life, and things did not turn out. The person turned out to be an abuser, or the woman turned out to be, you know, not a faithful person. There's all kinds of disappointments that people have in life. And the enemy tried to use those pain to make us leave the God who loved us, who created us, who has a great plan for us. Do not let pain distract you from eternal glory. Silence that distraction of pain. Let's be like Job. Job said, you know, people, all his friends said, it's too much. Are you the only one? Just curse God and die. He said, no. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Say to your pain, you have no portion. You cannot distract me. I will praise you. I will praise my God. I will praise my God. Sorry. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The other distraction that I want to speak to is passion. You know, our passion can be a distraction. And that's an area I want us to really think about. Because we talk about, you know, God has given us gifts. He wants us to do things in this world for his glory. Yeah. But it should not be an obsession. Don't let your passion become an obsession that distracts you and becomes an idol. Our passion, it can become an idol. And that is one thing God said. You shall have no other God besides me. No other God. Don't let your ministry be an idol. Don't let your service, don't let... there are good things. And the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. He shows us how. Don't let it distract you. Some people's passion, you know, even passion things they do in church, maybe you get into offense. Don't let offense, church hurt, distract you. Silence it. For that, I have the story of Martha for us. Martha was a passionate organizer, passionate to make things good and beautiful, which is good. Which is good, but there's time for everything. There's time for everything. And that's what with the thing about passion. There is season that we should learn to manage ourselves. Don't say, oh, because I have a passion to do whatever it is that you're doing. And God is calling you for prayer. God is calling you to preach to someone. And you're like, no, oh, I already have my schedule. And I know we all have our schedule, our plan. We can't be flexible. Pastor is saying, oh, you know, I need people to come. Let's fast and pray. This is the season as we prayed over during the outpouring, harvest of souls. And maybe pastor can say, oh, we need to change some things on the church calendar. Maybe this conference will not hold because we have to pray for souls. And then you are upset because, oh, pastor, I've rehearsed. I've done this. Passion. These are some of the ways it can be a distraction. Let's silence distractions that can come in form of a passion, seemingly good things, but have we yielded it to God? Our family, we love family, we love, God gave it to us, but don't let that be a distraction. The last one I have here, and there's so many things, and most of them actually came to me as P, because these are just ways that I am wired, right? And also it helps us to remember things easily. Politics, but I'm not going to talk about that. But in this 2024, don't let politics distract you. Let them do their thing. We go on our knees and pray because we are the solution. Kings will come and go. 4 years they come, 4 years they go. But we establish the will of God in the place of prayer. They may not look like who we want, but as we pray, God will turn the hearts of kings to the direction he wants us to go. We rise up in prayer. No, I must not see any post on politics, please. Pray! Hallelujah! The will of God comes. We silence distraction of politics. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. False prophets are another one. False prophets just distracting you, telling you to do things that are not in line with the word of God. Power can be a distraction. Position, positions, all those things. But the last one, going partying can be a distraction. It's in the Bible. In the days of Noah, people were having fun, and Jesus said it. So be mindful. Just silence. Don't go to a party that will hinder you from doing your prayer or coming to church to do your service. You know, that's we get it. Or even what we do in those celebrations, does it glorify God? Because is it expedient? You can say, you know, I'm ready, but other people are watching, our younger ones are watching. Does it glorify God? Would they say, oh, this is, I want to be like this person? Or are these Christians? No, I don't want to have anything. But the last one I have is our phone. Number 5 is phone. I don't have any scripture for that, but we all fit into that basket. So this phone is a very powerful tool. It is powerful, but that's why God gave the genius behind it to put silence. There's time we need to silence the phone. There's time to... It's hard. Even many times I even check myself in church because I'm communicating to people. But then distraction comes. And it's so interesting. Like things that we...
we would do before with human interaction. You go to someone. Sometimes I'm texting someone that is just like two rows behind me because I have a phone. I could just go to them and talk. But these are, the phone is major. It's not just about even our work with God. A lot of us, if we are not careful, this phone can get you in trouble with work. Silence it at work. Do your work. You are with your kids. You are feeding them. Silence your phone. Pay attention to your child. Silence this phone. Let's put our phone on schedule. Let's silence it. It's a major distraction. It's a major distraction, and God will help us. God will help us. So before we go to pray, I just want us to really, you know, we've talked about many things, and just ask the Holy Spirit to help us. We are in a race. We are in a race. It's not a funfair. We can just get so caught up in the world that we think we're going to be we'll be here forever. There is a time limit, and we are going to go to where we really belong, and we don't want to miss it. We don't want those people that we work with. We see them. My heart breaks at work, and I pray because I'm like, these people, I'm with them 5 days a week, and some of them don't even know Jesus. God, give me access to them. Give me access to them. I pray. Let that be what we do now. We just pray. It may not even be you, but your prayer will connect them to someone somewhere that will bring them to Jesus. The reason why Jesus is still delaying is because he still wants many more to come to his kingdom. And we are the ones, we are the soldiers. So let's silence distractions. Let's arise. And the way for us to do it is to keep watch, like we read in Matthew 24. Keep watch and live ready. Keep watch and be ready. Keep watch. We watch in our place of prayer. You'll be amazed as you are praying, God will start bringing people to your mind. It will bring someone to your mind. It will bring someone random. It could be someone that you went to high school together 2 decades ago. Pray for them. Maybe they're about to commit suicide. And your prayer will change things for them. This is how we should position ourselves. We are not ordinary. You and I, we are not ordinary. We have been impacted with the anointing that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to live as such. We need to live as such. And the Lord will help us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we pray, I want to give an invitation to anyone who is here and life, pleasure, church hurt has separated you. You grew up in church. You went to church with family, with your mom, dad, grandparents. But maybe pleasure or just pursuit of life took you away. But today, the Father is nudging you. Son, daughter, come home. I need you. You are mine. You are mine. If there's anyone here and that looks like you, you want to recommit to Jesus. You want to say, Jesus, I want you. I give my all to you. I silence all the distractions. And today I'm coming back. I'm coming back home just like that son did. Prodigal son, and the Father was waiting. The Father is waiting for you. If there's anyone in this sanctuary, you would like to give your heart, your soul, and mind. Maybe you've given your mind intellectually, you know of him, but your heart is not connected. I want to give you that opportunity. You can just raise your hands, wave your hands to Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus. If there's anyone, you're saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, come. Come and reign. Come and rule in me. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Come. Come. To my sister that's raising her hand, I want you to bow your heads and pray. Can you rise up? Can you rise up, please? Anyone, can you rise up? Can you rise up and say, Jesus? Just pray after me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's so delighted because this is what Jesus paid for. He's so delighted that you made this decision. So I want you to say after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. Even while I was still a sinner, you loved me. Even when I got distracted, you kept calling me. Today, Lord, I say yes. I belong to you. I am yours. I silence every distractions. And I choose you above everything else. Forgive me of my sin. Write my name in the book of life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me understanding of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Can we give a clap? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you because these ones, they become a voice for you in their family. They are not returning back to how they used to be. You are not returning back. You're not returning back. Before we close, I want to pray for anyone who is going through pain. Pain can be a distraction. There's so much pain. You still have hope, but sometimes you doubt if God even sees you. God gave a word about the service today. It's a day of settlement. Is the God that can settle? Is the God that can restore? Is the one that gives life? Don't let your pain separate you from the love of God. Paul said, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, neither persecution. And that's one thing that will still happen, is happening already, persecution. Perhaps what you're going through is just your own form of persecution. I want to pray for anyone who is just, I want you to come to the altar and the ministers will pray for you. You just have a pain and it's hindering you from really even talking about you. You cannot, you used to be, there's someone here, you used to be like an evangelist. You used to be so excited for Jesus. But because of delay or things that you feel has been denied of you, you've shut down. You've shut down. If you're in that category, come and lay down. Come and lay down the burdens you have carried. And let your worship be restored. Don't let your pain hinder you. Many of you are actually evangelists by calling. Anyone that has that mantle, the enemy will bring pain. John the Baptist that gave, you know, announced the coming of our Lord Jesus, he had his own share of pain. He had his own share of pain. You are special. You are evangelists. Pastors, can we pray for them? Apostle Eunice, can you please join and minister to these people? That the burden carrier will carry their pain. There will be an exchange in the name of Jesus. First, I pray that Lord will settle you. He will take that pain away. Lord, take the pain away. You are the comforter. You are the balm in Gilead. This pain will not silence your voice. Church, let's pray for our brothers and sisters. pain. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen them. Strengthen them. Holy Spirit, strengthen them. You will rise above. You will mount up with wings like eagle. You will not be weary. What has tried to silence your voice, I break it over your life. You have a voice. Each of you have a voice. You are evangelists in different areas of your life. The pain will not silence you. The pain will not distract you. The pain will push you to Jesus. The pain will push you to Jesus. Lord, take them to the cross. At the cross, be their glory ever. Let them behold your face, Jesus. Draw strength from Jesus. Bow your pain. Give your pain to Jesus. Give your pain to Jesus. Give your pain to Jesus. Receive his peace. Receive his power. Last night, Sister Blessing shared a testimony. She encountered God in a supernatural way in a time of pain.